It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 50 of Taylor Talk. This is Adam.
Belle.
Maya.
And Diane.
Can you guys believe we're already on episode 50?
No.
Whoa, that's intense.
We've been doing this a long time. People have been listening to us for a while. That's kind of neat. And on that note, something very, very special happened recently that I want to announce to the world. Do you guys know what?
What, Adam? Tell us.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Okay.
So, Taylor Talk has officially gone platinum. We have officially accumulated over 1 million downloads worldwide in somewhere about 190 countries or so. So, we've grown. We've grown from an infant to like a full-grown adult now.
Like, I can't even fathom that amount of people like listen to me talk. That's really strange.
Maya, I like listening to you talk.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, Belle.
Uh-oh. Yes, Adam?
What did one hat say to another?
Nice head.
Nope. The correct answer is, you stay here. I'll go on ahead. Da-da.
Oh, Jesus.
For the record, that wasn't my joke. That one was submitted by the Twitter account Taylor Talk Stock. So don't insult it. They love us and we love them.
Oh, thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
So, Diane, can you give us the upcoming calendar, please?
I will. So, as Taylor's opening show for the Red Tour quickly approaches, she's been busy with rehearsals. However, she'll be traveling back to the UK to perform the Brit Awards 2013. And she's also nominated for International Female Solo Artist. And that's happening on February 20th.
In other news of awesome things happening, the next single has been announced, and it is 22.
I'm so excited.
I know. It's such an awesome party song. I love it.
And I feel a number one Billboard hit coming on.
It's going to be, it's going to be released as a single on April 1st. So, you know, maybe, but here's the thing though. Maybe that's not even the real single, because if it's going to be, you know, released on April Fool's Day, maybe they're just messing with us.
That would be rude though.
That would be rude.
They're like, haha.
And our only other news item for this week is that just a couple hours ago, Taylor won a Grammy for Best Song Written for Visual Media for Safe and Sound, featured in The Hunger Games, along with The Civil Wars, and T-Bone Burnett. So, yay, good job, Taylor.
All right, thanks for the news and calendar, ladies. Let's move on to our first mini-segment, You Know You're a Swiftie When, and If Swifties Rule the World. First one is a submission from Twitter from @rapdavid19, who said, You know you're a Swiftie when Taylor Swift is mentioned in your class, and everybody looks at you like it's your name.
that happens to me quite frequently, actually.
Well, you look like Taylor.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I'm out of school, but like every time something happens publicly that involves Taylor, people I barely even know that actually know me will text me and they'll be like, oh, did you hear this?
Yeah, that happens to me all the time. People will always tell me about stuff that happened to Taylor. I'm like, I knew about that 2 weeks ago. But I like pretend like I'm really excited and surprised because they like went all the effort to tell me about it.
This next one is from Tibet Angel on Twitter. You know you're a Swiftie when you watch The New Girl just to hear 22 playing.
This next one comes from Hannah and Maddie via email. And they say, you know you're a Swiftie when there's a certain Taylor Swift song that always reminds you of your friend's relationship and you cry because the song explains them so perfectly and they're just so adorable that you want to die.
Aww.
That one makes me laugh.
I think that's happened to me.
You guys seem to have some sweet friends, Hannah and Maddie.
Sounds like it. They must be wonderful people.
Our next submission comes from @complete_geek on Twitter, and they said, you know you're a Swiftie when you write the lyrics to all of Taylor's songs on your math book without realizing it. I definitely used to do that with my notebooks. Actually, I still do sometimes if I get bored.
This one comes from Maya_Dixon_ via Twitter, and they say, if Swifties ruled the world, Taylor's album release dates would be national holidays.
Does that mean we get off work in school?
Yes.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Congress should definitely get on that for Taylor's next album.
This next one is from 17_Serena on Twitter. You know you're a Swiftie when you wear cat shoes to school and tell people it's a Taylor Swift thing.
I don't have any cat shoes myself, but if I did, I would wear them.
I don't either, and I want a pair.
All right, last one is a voicemail submission from Maddie. Let's hear from Maddie.
Hi, I'm Maddie. And if Swifties ruled the world, meet 16 and your 21st birthday wouldn't be the two big birthdays. They'd be the year you turn 15 and the year you turn 22.
Oh, that's cute.
Cute.
All right, thanks for that voicemail, Maddie. So, carrying on to our main discussion for the episode, let's talk Grammys. Where do we even start? There was a lot that went on. Taylor won a Grammy, she performed at the Grammys, she made a certain comment that was controversial at the Grammys. What are we going with first?
Her performance. Let's start with her performance.
Okay, that's a good place to start.
I mean, I feel like Tim Burton had something to do with this performance.
Right?
Well, it's not Tim Burton. I think it was Tyce DiIorio.
Well, no, she's being sarcastic. But, I mean, it seemed very, like, Mad Hatter-ish slash circus. Like, it was very, like, different. But it was cool.
Like, do you guys watch So You Think You Can Dance? Because he is a choreographer on that show, in case you didn't know.
And wait, for real?
Yeah, and that's why half the dancers are from So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh, wait, I thought you were talking about Tim Burton for a second. I was like, wait a minute, what?
No, I'm not sure Tim Burton can dance.
But, like, he, on top of, you know, just being an amazing choreographer at everything, he specializes in Broadway. So, like, big, dramatic, crazy things. It's, like, his go-to. So I think that the, like, scale of it is probably a pretty good preview for what it's going to be like on tour.
Yeah, it was definitely very big and kind of, like, you know, there were lots of things going on. So for me, it was a little bit hard to tell what exactly was happening because for TV, they have to film with so many close-ups. And I feel like for a performance that big, like a long shot would have worked better because then you can see like all of the stuff that was happening. You would have gotten a bigger sense as to what was going on. So
I'm not sure how they would have pulled this off live, but this is just like a interesting like concept idea. You know how like they did the video for the song in one long continuous shot?
Yeah.
That would have been cool if they would have somehow had a way to arrange the stage where they could have actually done that concept that they did live, but do it in one continuous shot. I don't think they really could have, but I just think it would be a cool concept.
They probably could have if they planned it right. I mean, I think anything's possible.
Maybe. I don't know. I think for a big stage, though, it makes more sense to do something like this, like, because this is such, it's like, it's a song about celebrating, and there's a lot of different ways you can interpret that, and I think that turning the stage into one big, crazy Alice in Wonderland circus party celebration thing works perfectly because it's this huge spectacle and that's what the song is sort of supposed to feel like.
True. Taylor has just this amazing way of personifying the message that she's trying to get across with every performance that she does. And you never really see it coming. You know, I would have never thought she's going to have guys on stilts. Like, that would have never been a prediction.
What if Taylor is being, like, super sneaky and this actually was her Red Tour performance for that song?
It could be. It would be a great way
she's
to practice.
She's done that before. Like, she's turned award show performances into tour performances multiple times before, so I wouldn't be surprised.
It would make great sense to use that as, like, a test performance to see how the audience reacts.
Yeah. I mean, like, she did that with, like, Should Have Said No that she did on tour.
Yeah. I forget what award show that was for, but yeah, with, like, the water coming down, that was great.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hope that that's what it's going to be like on tour because that was so cool to watch. So everything they did I thought was so fun and like can you imagine if she opened tour with that, with like this just big like crazy like circus on stage?
Oh my gosh.
So am I crazy or does anybody else think, you know, the guy that was on that spinning thing, if that was representative, like some obscure representation of the guy that the song's supposed to be focused on, like it was almost like she was dominating him.
She was like torturing him.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the love interest. She kept like kicking him and stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
So what was the significance of having him on this spinning like time warp crazy hypnotist thing?
It's like a circus thing, isn't it? It's like you like spin it around and they like pretend, throw knives at it, and it makes you all nervous because you think they're going to kill the person, but they never do. It's kind of like he's her target, and she's just walking all over him now.
And plus, it's just like he's kind of, you're supposed to get that vibe where he's kind of terrified, and she's just kind of having fun with it.
She's the one in charge now.
Exactly.
She's getting vicious in her old age.
I mean, if you think about it, the message of the song is, it's my choice now, and this is never going to happen again. So, it stands to reason that, you know, with that personified message, she's going to be, like you said, dominating the guy, you know, more or less. Being the one in charge, being the one messing with him while he's all, you know, on a spinning wheel, which could be also be metaphorically representative of her emotions during the relationship. Like, see, hey, see how it feels with the shoes on the other foot.
I just think it's very interesting seeing this compared to the old, like, sundress and cowgirl boots Taylor of years past. And someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like there was a recent interview where she said something about how, like, she realizes... What was it? Something about how she, like, realizes that the heartbreak isn't only the guy's fault. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's sort of, like, that she's realized that it's always, like, there's always two sides to it.
I think as a result of that, her vision of how these messages are portrayed on stage and also in the videos has changed as a result of that change in attitude. And I think that might be where this whole domination idea comes from, because she wouldn't have thought of that back in the day. It would have been very much like, oh, he broke my heart, he's horrible.
16-year-old Taylor in the cowboy boots and the white dress would never have put on this performance.
No, she would have felt out of control rather than in control.
That's actually very accurate. I agree.
Thanks, Belle.
You're welcome, Adam. But no, I mean, but at the same time, you know, like now, I thought it fit perfectly.
Yeah, it was very cool, I thought. So, while we're on the topic of Taylor growing up, why don't we talk about this controversial statement she made?
Oh, gosh, here we go.
My favorite part of the whole thing.
That was my absolute favorite 10 seconds of the entire Grammys night.
You guys are gonna hate me.
I know you don't like it. I already know.
Wait, hang on. Let's pause real quick and tell everybody what it was in case they missed it or overlooked it or don't know what we're talking about.
Okay, when she was doing the talking part of We're Never Ever Getting Back Together, she did the phrase, I still love you, in a British accent, which many will realize was most likely a reference to her recent ex-boyfriend, Harry Styles, who happens to be from the United Kingdom. There was also a line after that, what was it? I still love you. And then she was like, no, I'm sorry. I'm opening up the Grammys tonight. And that was funny.
I think the last line was funny about the Grammys, but I just feel like Taylor kind of like mocking Harry Styles was just a little bit too far for me. Like, when I heard that, my first thought was, are you serious? Like, are you serious? I understand that she had to go through a breakup and you can be mad about that, but to do something like that publicly, I just felt like it was too much. And I feel like, too, like, that's something that you would joke about doing, but not actually do. So, I don't know. Like, I feel like she's gonna get so much backlash for this, and I just don't know if it was a good idea for her to do. Like, it was a mistake.
Well, she started getting backlash on it as soon as she did it. I mean, throughout the Grammys, before the Grammys even ended, people were on her case about it.
Yeah.
And if you watch the Grammy performance video on YouTube, I don't know how it'll be by the time we publish this episode and by the time everybody out there is listening, but as of right now, it's got more dislikes than likes and a lot of negative comments on that.
Can I weigh in?
Go for it.
Okay. I have a couple of different comments to make about this thing that Taylor did. The first comment I'm going to make is, it's almost become a tradition for her to make some comment like that if you look at her performance last year when she did Mean. She wrote that song because a critic completely tore her apart and it hurt her feelings. And so then her response to that, it was, someday I'll be singing this at the Grammys and all you're ever going to be is mean.
Right, okay, but I feel like that's a little bit different because that's more justified. Like, that person was publicly mean to her, so Taylor decided to speak out back publicly, but we don't know what happened with her and Harry.
Well, this is almost exactly like what she did on SNL during her monologue. Like, she made a very obvious and somewhat mean jab at Joe Jonas in the middle of her monologue. And yeah, all of the Jonas Brothers fans got mad and people called her immature. And I'm sure they're going to do the same thing again.
Right, but she was like, what, 18 then? Like, that I feel like is more excusable because she was still like a young girl, but she's 23.
Yeah, and sorry to interject, Diane, but I also think that was a more appropriate platform than the Grammys.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's supposed to be funny. Like, it's Saturday Night Live. Like, you're supposed to laugh. But, this wasn't the right venue, I feel like.
I mean, I don't know. I thought it was funny, personally. I rewound it about 15 times because I couldn't get over it. I don't know. Like, for me, at least, if there was an opportunity, like, if you can just imagine going through a really nasty breakup, like a really horrible one where you're just mad, you're in that headspace where you're pissed at the other person, and then you have the opportunity to perform in front of a lot of people singing a song about a breakup.
Where that person is going to be watching you.
Like, I don't think that I could resist the temptation of doing something like that. Because it's like, you're on that stage, you're opening up the freaking Grammys. Who knows where your ex is? Obviously not there. Like, why not?
And I have, like, one more thing to say about that, too. And it's, like, here's the situation. Okay, we don't know Taylor. We don't know Harry. We don't know the details of what happened between them two. All we know is that they got in some kind of fight. She left when they were on vacation. And he went to Richard Branson's island and partied with a bunch of chicks. And there's photos all over him with chicks all over him 24 hours later. That's all we know. We have no idea what else happened or what the details are or what anything else is. So, I mean, from our perspective, with us not really knowing any of the details and everything, like, I don't feel like we need to take it personally. And I think that Taylor is somebody who, she's aware of how people react to what she does. And I think she's gotten, like, the message that I have gotten, and I mean, this could be right or wrong, this is just my interpretation of, like, her behavior over the past year or so, is that I think she's just gotten to a point where she's like, you know what, I'm gonna be myself, and I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do, and not let other people's opinions dictate how I should present myself. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I could be wrong, I'm not in her head, but, like, that's just the way that I, like, tend to interpret her the way that, you know, her changes and everything. And I mean, I have a lot of respect for that, because I think it's really hard to do in that business. As we were discussing a few episodes ago, like, the pressure has got to be enormous. And I'm sure that she knew how people were going to react to that, and she made the choice to do it anyway. So the way that I look at it, like, there had to have been a reason that she made that choice. It was probably not about what other people are going to say. It was probably about, you know what, I need to, like, figure out how I need to work past this and feel better about what happened between, you know, and this is what I need to do for me.
That makes sense to me, except for one thing.
What?
She knows exactly how people are going to react, how fans are going to react, etc. The real question is how is Harry going to react? Because I can see this as, while it was an innocent jab, it was just kind of like, haha, type thing at first, having a snowball effect where Harry retaliates, then Taylor, then it goes back and forth, and it ends up escalating.
I don't think Harry gives a monkey's butt about it. And I don't think he's going to do anything, and I think that she knows that.
That may be so, but again, this wasn't like SNL. This was in front of an audience of their peers, of other music professionals.
Okay, so Taylor performed this at the Grammys. She said this at the Grammys, a very classy award show. How classy do you think this was of her?
I don't know, maybe it wasn't that classy, but then again, it's not that classy of a song. And it's not the year when she's nominated for Record of the Year. And she's an international superstar and has been for 6 years. And a funny comment about her ex-boyfriend is not going to change that.
To summarize, I just think that she did what she did for her own reasons. And I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, no matter how much time we spend sitting around talking about her, which is obviously a lot of time, we don't know her. We don't know anything about her. We don't know what happened. We know nothing about this. So I think at some level, we have no right to judge what she does, because it's not about us.
True.
I think I should clarify my opinion. I think it's funny as well. I'm with Maya and Belle on that. However, this is the thing. Taylor is by far the biggest thing on the planet right now. I'm not saying she was the biggest thing ever, but right now, Taylor's the biggest thing in the world. And as a result, people are going to take shots at her regardless. So I do actually, in a sense, respect her quite a bit for doing that anyway. I just think she's hit a point in her career where she's like, well, I'm huge now. Everyone's going to criticize me. It's like everybody who blames McDonald's for making their children fat, but leave out Burger King and Wendy's and Jack in the Box. You know what I mean?
Like, I think she knows at this point that something like this isn't actually going to hurt her significantly. Like, the people who are going to be upset about it are, like, One Direction fans.
But I'm upset about it.
But are you going to stop listening to her music and paying her money? No, you're not.
That's exactly what I was going to say. As I was going to say, Diane, when she puts out another record, are you going to buy it?
Of course. And that's the thing. She knows that she can do that, and you're not going to stop listening to her music.
That's true. Like, I still love Taylor, but I think she made a mistake. That's what I'm going to say. But people are not perfect, and she has her own reasons for doing it, but I don't have to approve them.
I think it was hilarious and gutsy, and it absolutely made my night. I feel like most people are not going to feel that way, but I thought it was funny.
You know, because I like playing devil's advocate and playing every side of every argument, How do we even know that this was a jab at Harry? Like, if it was a British accent, it was a very bad British accent.
She's never done that in a British accent before.
But how do we even know it was a British accent?
Because it was definitely a British accent. It wasn't a very good one, but it was one.
Okay. I'll accept that then. I just wanted to look at it from a different angle for a minute. I think on this, we're all just going to have to, at some point, agree to disagree, because Belle and Maya, you're on one side of the argument, Diane, you're on the other. I'm somewhere floating in the middle. So let's change the subject real quick and talk about her outfit. Everybody's interested in fashion, except for me, because I'm a guy. So why don't I let the three of you take away that discussion?
I was underwhelmed by her dress.
What does that mean?
It means she wasn't impressed. Or super impressed.
Maya.
What?
You can be underwhelmed, and you can be overwhelmed.
You were just be whelmed. What is that from?
10 Things I Hate About You.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was pretty. I thought it was fine.
I thought her hair was gorgeous.
Her hair was messy.
But it was a pretty messy, though. It was like this, like, Grecian, like, I'm out running out in the fields braid.
I loved the braid across her head of the red carpet.
Did you see the back of it? There was flyaways like crazy. I don't know, it looked messy. I liked the braid, but it looked messy to me. I mean, not that she didn't look gorgeous, because she always looks gorgeous. I don't know, I feel like it's the Grammys. And, like, at the Grammys, you go all out, and I feel like she's worn better dresses than that just this year to less exciting things. Also, can she wear colors at some point in her life? Because white, red, and gold are getting a little old.
Yeah. She should go back to, like, blue and purple. She looks great in those colors.
Yeah.
Or, like, do orange. Do something different.
Do something. Anything. Anything that's not white. However, I really enjoyed her performance outfit. I thought it was really cute.
The circus one?
Mm-hmm. It was all very glittery and fun and pretty and...
I would hope she wouldn't wear that walking down the street, though.
No, that would be a little Lady Gaga-esque. Or not even. That might be a little bit too normal for Lady Gaga.
I was just going to say. That's giving Lady Gaga too much credit.
Where is Lady Gaga? Did she fall off the face of the planet or something?
I think she's touring right now.
Oh, okay.
Yep, she's on tour.
What about the agency's outfits?
I think they were all mostly wearing white.
Yeah, they were, good. Weren't they?
I liked it.
They matched Taylor's performance outfit.
The dancers' costumes were really fun. There were some crazy things happening. There was a bunny.
Yeah, about that rabbit.
I loved the bunny! I don't know why, but I really, really, really loved the bunny. Have you guys seen the picture of Taylor with one of the bunnies where Taylor's got her little hands up like paws?
There was only one bunny, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was so cute.
Yeah, he posted that on his Twitter. He's one of the tour dancers, so you might get to see him in bunny costume again.
That's actually a big part of the reason, like I said earlier, I think maybe she could be teasing us, and this could actually be at least very close to one of the red performances, because she did have her red dancers there.
I mean, and it's those dancers, and Tyce DiIorio tweeted a link to, like, a video of the performance, which makes me think that he choreographed it, which makes me think even more that it's actually something they're using for tour, and not just this.
So, wrapping up our Grammy discussion, congrats to Taylor on her Grammy for the night, and to the Civil Wars as well, for Safe and Sound. It's awesome.
She can add it to her collection.
This was number 7?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's my lucky number.
Cool.
So, who thinks we should do Wheel of Taylor?
I do.
Okay, we can do it.
Okay.
Belle sounds so excited.
I don't think Belle wants to play.
Like, okay, we can do it.
If I have to...
Get excited, Belle.
Okay, then. Welcome to another round of Wheel of Taylor. Since Belle is enthusiastic about it, she will be competing against Maya Papaya tonight. First question goes to Maya. What hockey team is Taylor a fan of and once did a commercial for?
That would be the Nashville Predators.
Ding, 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 ding. Maya gets it right. Next question to Belle. What two Taylor Swift songs start with Once Upon a Time?
I Knew You Were Trouble.
And?
If you need help, can you phone a friend?
Belle, would you like to phone a friend?
Yeah, I want to phone a friend, because I know it. It's like on the tip of my tongue, but...
Who will you be phoning this evening?
I'm phoning Diane.
Oh, thank you.
Diane, would you like to help out Belle?
The answer is Forever and Always.
Oh, totally knew that.
Ding, 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 ding! Yay! And tonight's winner was Maya Papaya for not using one of her cheats.
That's not fair.
Thank you. Well, at least Belle and I got it right together. Teamwork.
Yeah.
See. Maya, your prize this evening is the pride and ego that comes along with beating Belle in a round of Wheel of Taylor. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We need some real prizes. We need to up the ante with this game.
So, do you guys know what Swifties are listening to?
I have no idea what Swifties are listening to.
So Shannon emailed us and suggested we listen to a song called Holiday by an artist I believe called Massad, M-A-S-S-A-D. I listened to it not that long ago before we recorded, and it's catchy. He's a pop artist. Shannon suggested we listen to him. I guess he's popular in New Zealand. That's where Shannon's from. So go check it out. You know, I'm going to post a video of that song from YouTube on the episode guide for this episode on taylortalk.org, and you guys can all give it a listen. It was catchy. It was fun. Are you guys going to go listen?
Yeah, totally.
So if you want to submit to any of our mini segments, we have a variety of ways to contact us. You can email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us, all to taylortalk13. Or you can leave us a voicemail or text message to area code 240-31-SWIFT. Please, please, please remember when you do that, though, to leave your name, especially in the text messages, because you're not used to leaving your name. Like, you know, you're texting a friend, I'm texting Belle. Hey, Belle, what's up? This is Adam. You know what I mean? So we get a lot of those that are anonymous. Please leave your name. That'd be awesome. Or if you want to leave us a voicemail, you could do so directly on taylortalk.org. And that concludes our episode for this week, episode 50. Like I said earlier in the episode, we hit 1 million downloads recently, and there's going to be a very special surprise coming to you guys.
I'm excited for that.
Me too.
They all know what it is, but you guys don't.
Mwahaha.
So for episode 50, this has been Adam,
Belle,
Maya,
and Diane
saying have a great day, guys. We will see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Virtual hand hearts.
Virtual hand hearts. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.